The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of Boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzloff Yacht Sales. My name is John Tetzloff with Tetzloff Yacht Sales, tetzloffyachtsales.com. You can contact us at 651-214-9463. We're right downtown Stillwater, Minnesota here, right on Main Street. And I know you hear this from a lot of folks. We're running out of listings. We need your boat. But I'll tell you what, if you go to my website, I'm at over 50 sales for the year. I really need some more boats to sell, and we're just moving them. We need them. It's a good problem to have, but really, if you're thinking about selling your boat, give us a call. We would love to talk to you. And on my starboard side, we have...
I am Eric Wolf. I am the co-owner of Wolf Marine. We are located 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater, intersection of Highway 95 and 96. And yes, we are located on the beautiful St. Croix River. We are a marina that accommodates boats from 16 to 50 foot in length. And like John, we're looking for your boat also. So if you have a boat that's sitting at home or at another marina that might need a place to go, we'd love to have you. You can contact us at area code 651-439-2341. Give us an email at info@wolfmarine.net. Check out our website, wolfmarine.net. And today we have three great guests here with us, all from MnDOT, Minnesota Department of Transportation. We have Todd Klarkowski. He is the St. Croix River Crossing Project Manager. We have Mike Schmidt. He is the lift bridge tender for the Stillwater Lift Bridge. And we also have Kent Barnhart, who is the media specialist for MnDOT. Thank you guys for all showing up here and joining us on our show. I think we're going to start off with some questions with the lift bridge operator. My first question to you is, what qualifications do you need to become a lift bridge operator?
Well, we go through a walkthrough and a learning procedure at the beginning of each year to know the property... sequences to run the bridge, you know, look for traffic both on the river and on the highway.
Okay. Now, let's say I'm coming up river from the south and I'm going to Wolf Marine, 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater here. What do I have to do to pass underneath the bridge?
And let me step in. Eric's just getting right to the meat right here. This is the big one here. This is what everybody wants to hear. This is the good stuff.
There are a few Coast Guard regulations on how to proceed under a swing lift or a drawbridge. The first of all, if you don't have a marine band radio in your vessel, the Coast Guard stipulates that you should stand in the bow of your boat and wave a white flag up and down, or at nighttime, a flashlight to get the attention of the tender. Most people don't do that because they don't know the regulations. But and then also the people that with the nice boats and the paddle boats, they all have the marine band radios, and they'll ask us when your next lift schedule opening is, and we'll tell them, and they proceed upbound or downbound and position themselves away from the bridge.
All right. Now, how long, once the bridge opens, how long do you have to pass underneath that thing?
We will hold that boat, that bridge open as long as it takes to get all the vessels through. A normal lift from start to finish takes approximately 6 to 7 minutes.
Okay.
And I have a quick question in light of what happened a few weeks ago when the bridge came down and hit that boat. I understand, were you the operator at the time?
No, I wasn't. I was off duty already.
Oh, okay. So my question is, if you have a silly guy that thinks they can get under the bridge, we have other names for that person. We'll just call him a silly guy right now. He wants to get underneath that bridge, and it's coming down. Does the bridge operator have the ability then to stop it if they see that happening?
Yes, we can. We can shut the bridge off from going up or down, but it does take a while. It's got a huge motor in it, and by the time it basically, idles down to a stop, you've gone another 2 to 3 feet.
Yeah, and that could be critical.
Yeah, and I've also mentioned before that the bridge shack tender, the tender shack, is on the north side of the bridge. So if a boat is passing, approaching from the south, do you have good visualization of that boat from the south?
up until a certain time, there is what's called, like you're probably familiar with automobile safety, there is a blind spot on that bridge, and it's the deck and the railing and the sidewalk. Basically, you've got probably, I would say, about a 50 to 60 foot blind spot where we can't see anything.
Absolutely. Now, once the bridge is up, how do I know when it's safe to go under it?
Well, when we do reach the top, the bridge will stop, and there's a center navigation light on the bridge, which is red for identifying center of channel. Once the bridge reaches the top, that light will go to green.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then once the bridge starts to come down, will that again turn back to red?
It'll turn back to red after it drops down about 5 feet. Before we open the bridge, we sound a long, steady blast on the air horn. One long blast to go up. Once we're up and we're planning on coming down, that we feel it's safe to come down, we'll give two blasts on the horn, meaning the bridge is on its way down.
Okay, and I have a question. So, if the bridge is on the way up or it's on the way down, should folks wait until it's completely, well, obviously when it's down they shouldn't go, but when it's on its way up, should the boaters wait until that bridge is at a standstill in its up position before going underneath?
Well, the big paddle boats do. Your cruisers and small pleasure craft, they kind of know when it's safe to go.
Okay, and you can kind of judge, I would assume, the height needed for certain boats. You know, not every boat needs the lift bridge to go all the way to the top.
Right, right.
So there are situations where you can stop that bridge, you know, let's say 15 feet off of a normal or closed position.
We can do that. We prefer to go all the way up. Just it's the liability factor, and we don't want to get into a pattern on the computers of lifting partway, stopping, and coming down. We have a tendency to take it all the way.
So it is computers. A lot of people are under the understanding that you're in there pulling chains and ropes because that thing is so old. So this is up to date with all the latest technology.
Pretty much so, yes. It's all electronic control panel, all driven by big three-phase motors in there.
Cool.
In today's electronic world, you had mentioned that the preferred method is to contact you via marine radio.
Yes.
Is there a way to call the bridge shack anymore, or is it still just you call me on the radio, the marine band?
Preferably, it's the marine band. On either side of the bridge, we have our schedule posted for lifting times during the week, holidays, and weekends. And there is a phone number on there, but that's to the MnDOT dispatch. And if you call them and they've got a problem, MnDOT dispatch will contact us by the telephone.
Okay. Now I'm coming up, like I said earlier, I'm coming up maybe from Prescott, going to Wolf Marine. How close to the bridge should I be, and how much ahead of time should I be there?
Well, we'd like to see, say if we got a 12 o'clock lift, we don't want to see you requesting a lift and you're still a mile downstream or upstream. We'd like to have you be fairly close so we don't have to hold that bridge open any longer than we have to. The bridge schedule and timing is for both the boat traffic and the vehicle traffic on the highway there, because our schedule is set up for basically the rush hours.
So it's based basically right now on traffic, road traffic.
Yes.
Okay.
And then once the new bridge is in, it's going to be just pedestrian traffic on that bridge, and are they going to keep the same hours? And
well, that I don't know. Our schedule is regulated both by the Coast Guard and from MnDOT.
Okay. Yes. Once the lift bridge is closed to vehicular traffic and the traffic is down on the New River Crossing Bridge, the lift schedule, we're looking at not changing that lift schedule. MnDOT or WISDOT are not proposing any changes to the current lift schedule.
And will they do some kind of a study and kind of see how it's being used and maybe amend that schedule if it's not being used as much?
Yeah, the lift schedule itself is regulated by the U.S. Coast Guard.
Oh.
So they establish the process on how to make any changes to that lift schedule.
Okay.
So, for example, anyone could approach the Coast Guard and request a schedule change. A such as a marina or a, sure. Or a community, even the city of Stillwater could, and request a lift modification. And then the Coast Guard would go through a public hearing process where they'd gather comments from all the general public, including the people that would propose a change like
sure.
that. And then the Coast Guard would make a determination on how should that lift schedule change.
So unlikely.
No, I don't believe that's true.
Sure, it can happen.
Okay.
And I've been to actually some of them meetings. They had one here maybe a couple years back here at the Stillwater City Hall. Coast Guard's very they're open to,
are they?
Okay. to suggestions.
So. And that was an ignorant statement by me because I don't know. I was just playing the bad guy here.
You know, the Coast Guard established the lift schedule sure. many, many decades ago and have been adjusting that schedule slightly over time. So there's been a number of lift modifications
cool.
over time.
Absolutely.
But it's a process. It's a formal federal process that the Coast Guard has to go through, gather public comments, and move forward then through that public process.
Okay.
I would like to add that the Coast Guard will be up here on July 20th for an open house we're having, and they're just going to gather comments from the public about the lift schedule. So if people have some thoughts on that, they're more than welcome to attend that meeting.
Well, let's hear more about this open house for the Stillwater Lift Bridge. I came into the studio here not knowing anything about it, so hopefully we can get this out to our listeners.
Yep. Well, we do have a public open house scheduled for Thursday, July 20th, 4 to 7 p.m. at Stillwater City Hall. We're going to be talking about the future of the lift bridge, our plans to do rehab, and then turn that into a bike pedestrian facility, and it'll tie up with the loop trails on both sides of the river. So we would encourage people 4 to 7 p.m. at Stillwater City Hall up on 4th Street.
As we're all scribbling the times and
this information will be on Tetzlaff Yacht Sales Facebook page, and I'm sure you can go to your guys' website to get that information. And what would that website be?
Our web address is www.mndot.gov, and then on the first page you get to, there's a link that says current construction, and just go down the list to Highway 36 Lift Bridge.
And can you say that one more time, starting with that www? That's where I lost you.
www.mndot.gov.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Anyway, I think we're coming up to the end of our first half of the show. A great show. It went by fast, and this is great information that I didn't know much about, or maybe even Eric said he didn't know much about. He's been around a lot longer than I have, although I'm older than he is. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come right back. This is Tetzlaff Yacht Sales, tetzlaffyachtsales.com, 651-214-9463.
And you are listening to KLBB 1220 AM radio, and we will be right back.
A convenient location and protected bay. Shouldn't that be where you harbor your boat? If so, dock your boat at Wolf Marine in Stillwater. Hello, this is Eric Wolf. After all, why have a boat if you can't get out onto the water and enjoy it? My grandparents, along with my father, established this marina at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96, just a mile north of Stillwater in 1957. But being just north of downtown, you avoid heavy traffic that keeps you from getting out onto the water. And in our protected bay, we have hundreds of slips ranging in size from 16 to 50 feet, so we can accommodate a variety of boats. Not sure if this is the best place to keep your boat? Come see me. I can answer your questions so you can decide the best place to dock your boat. And because Wolf Marine is a three-generation family-owned marina, you can count on consistency from year to year. Talk to me and get out on the water faster at Wolf Marine.
Hello, this is John Tetzlaff of Tetzlaff Yacht Sales. If you are thinking about getting out on the water in a nice used boat, now is the time to talk to me. Whether you are looking at a houseboat, cruiser, motor yacht, or something else, and with the largest selection of boats in the area, not only do we have boats in Stillwater, but we also broker boats up and down the St. Croix, Mississippi, Lake Minnetonka, all over North America, and even overseas. I will work hard for you before and after the sale. To enjoy the water this summer, come visit TetzlaffYachtSales.com. Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzlaff Yacht Sales. My name is John Tetzloff with Tetzloff Yacht Sales. You can go to TetzloffYachtSales.com. You can see all our boats for sale. We have a whole bunch of good pages on there with other boating information that you can check into. And again, like I said at the beginning of the first half, we're looking for some good listings out there to sell. We're up over 50 boats already sold for the year, and would definitely like to keep on top of that so the inventory doesn't get too low, because I know people are out there always looking for great boats. And I also want to mention the fact that, you know, how sad we are about the carbon monoxide death that we had last weekend. Very sad. You know, we actually had the DNR on our last show talking about the upgrade to Sophia's Law. And doggone it, that same weekend, we had a carbon monoxide death, and that very sad. So what we want to tell everybody is, don't wait for that law to come into effect. Go get your new detectors now and put them in. Even if they're 2 years old, it's a cheap enough item that you can get that can definitely save your life. So I would not hesitate to get that.
Yeah, and we did have that segment last week, and even at that, I did mention, I said, you know, for the $125 it costs for those detectors, don't put it off. Be proactive. Get those things in your boat. And I think I even had mentioned last week that, you know, if something were to happen, you'd never be able to forgive yourself for not spending the $125 on a detector. And unfortunately, something did happen last week. And, you know, go out and get them. I've got them at the marina there, so give us a call. We'll get you down there, get them in your boat. They have been selling. Unfortunately, it took a tragedy such as this for people to really start getting on the ball on this thing. So I think I probably sold at least a half a dozen of them last week. So people are starting to realize, hey, these are things that we do need. So
yeah, and the other one is, too, is the electric shock drowning. We also had some experts on that on the show, and I still read from time to time that folks are jumping in the water either by accident or on purpose to swim or whatever, and you just want to make sure you're really not swimming in the marinas. It's besides the electric shock, I mean, there's other dangers. I mean, there could be a boat coming by. It's just not a good thing to swim in the marinas, so watch for that.
Yeah, and let's get back to our main topic here, and that we have been talking about the Stillwater Bridge. Both the Stillwater Lift Bridge and the new Stillwater Crossing, is that what they call it, the Stillwater Crossing?
Yeah, the St. Croix Crossing.
St. Croix Crossing, yep. Okay, very good.
SCC for short.
SCC for short.
It took me a while to figure that one out.
And I think we want to go back to the open house for the Stillwater Lift Bridge and maybe make some clarifications on that. Now, this is going to be basically an informational session, is it not, on what's going to happen to the old Stillwater Bridge?
Well, the focus is going to be our plans for rehab and transformation of the lift bridge into a bicycle and pedestrian trail, which will connect with the loop trails on both sides of the river. It'll be quite a tourist attraction in the future when we're done here. I wanted to clarify, too, that the U.S. Coast Guard will be on hand. It is not a public hearing. It is not an opportunity to make changes to the lift bridge schedule. However, he does want to hear what people's thoughts are, and that might be just the fact that, no, we love it the way it is right now. If there is a request from somebody to make changes, they would then go through the public hearing process, but that is not necessarily going to happen. This is not going to happen at this point for us. Just to reiterate, I guess, the meeting will be on July 20th, that's a Thursday, at Stillwater City Hall from 4 to 7 p.m., and we welcome people out there. We will have displays showing the bridge once it's done, and we'll talk about some of the things we're going to be doing out there as part of the process. And we'll have some historical information there, too, and we'll talk about the loop trail.
All right. And I guess I don't want to sugarcoat anything here, but John and I have been kind of opponents of the old Stillwater Lift Bridge. We'd, as boaters, we would like to see the thing either lose a span or possibly leave it open or something, where the boaters can travel freely without having to worry about without having to worry about having it lifted to pass underneath it. But you know, I totally understand that there's a lot of people that want to see this thing in complete operation, completely restored. I think it'd be great, also. But you know, I've been boating here my whole life and having to work around that lift bridge schedule. It's not horrible for the recreational boater, but there are times when I'm in the industrial end of it, when I have a small barge or a crane or something that I have to get from one job to another, or, you know, two and coming back, and I have a whole crew that I'm paying, you know, buku dollars to stay on the river waiting for a lift bridge, which at times I believe could be up to 2 hours, possibly. Do you have the lift bridge schedule handy?
And I just want to say real quick that we don't want to put anybody out of a job either. I
mean, no,
we've got some lift bridge operator in here, and
yeah.
we definitely
yeah.
don't want to put him out of a job.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things with the, along with the St. Croix Crossing project, with trying to balance all these different issues, I think that's what the Coast Guard is also trying to do with this lift schedule.
Right.
You know, it's been established for many decades when they first initially started with the first lift schedule, mm-hmm. and then they've been modifying it along the way over time.
Sure.
Try to find that balance.
Yep.
You know, the real big change that's going to be going on now is all of a sudden you have your cars and trucks that will now be on this new St. Croix River Bridge.
Right.
And we're expecting, you know, to be open to traffic on that new river crossing bridge in August of this year.
Sure.
Right now, if you go out and take a look at where we are, we're out there painting. We're doing a lot of painting, and we're doing chip seals on the driving surface. Yeah. And those operations are very weather-dependent. So if the weather holds between yeah. now and August, we'll be able to open that new bridge up to traffic.
Perfect. August 3rd? Is that what I heard?
You know, we're looking at sometime in August right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
You know, we do have a ribbon cutting for that new river crossing bridge. It'll be a ceremonial ribbon cutting, and we've issued press releases on that ceremonial ribbon cutting. It's August 2nd
okay.
at 10 o'clock in the morning
yep.
over on the Minnesota side of the bridge. Right now, the communities are trying to plan, like, transit and shuttle options for people, try to keep people parking up above on top of the hill
sure.
and then bring them down below to the ceremony site.
And at this point, we did find out that we're going to have two locations. One is the VFW, and then another is one of the local car dealers has agreed to host cars, I guess, and then we'll be running shuttle buses.
Oh, nice.
Super.
But you know, it has been a balance of, you know, you talked earlier about changes modifying the lift schedule. It has always been trying to find that balance point to accommodate all the users, the boaters,
mm-hmm.
the pedestrians, the cars and trucks that were out there. But now in the future, we're going to have bikes and peds out there. This loop trail is a 5-mile loop that connects the new bridge up with the lift bridge, but then it also acts like a central hub of a bike spoke type
sure,
thing
sure.
that connects up to regional trails in Wisconsin, connects up to Browns Creek Trail in Minnesota, which goes over to Gateway Trail, the very busiest trail in Minnesota, connects up to Oak Park Heights Trails, Bayport's Trails, Stillwater's Trails. You know, so this loop trail acts like a hub system that we expect to bring in a lot of bikes and peds.
Yeah.
So offering that balance of then how will this lift bridge who's all going to be using this lift bridge in the future? There's going to be a lot of bikes, a lot of peds. There's going to be boat traffic.
Mm-hmm.
How can we find that balance? And that'll be up to the Coast Guard to determine that.
Yeah, and you know, I started to rethink my thoughts on that bridge when you mentioned the bike. The biking industry and community is huge, and I know it's a big part of what downtown they cater to the bikers a lot because a lot of the coffee shops and the health place. The bikers are huge. I think now that I think about it a little bit more, maybe that lift bridge is there for a long time because that is a nice path. I mean, it's a 5-mile trip. And what is you go over the bridge, you take a right up the road. How does it work?
How the loop trail will work, it'll go from the lift bridge into Wisconsin. You'll go up the roadway, State Trunk Highway 64 now. County Road E, as it is over there today, will be removed and
mm-hmm.
revegetated.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be, as a biker or walker, you'll be walking up that State Trunk Highway 64 prong, and then you'll kind of go a little bit south, go over to the new County Road E interchange. Then from there, you'll go to the new bridge and then circle around in Minnesota, adjacent, kind of in between Highway 95 and the river by the
yeah.
Oasis Cafe,
yep.
paddle boats up that way. And so that'll create that 5-mile
sure.
loop trail system.
Okay. When the construction and rehab of the old bridge there begins, where does the money come from for that? Was that part of the new bridge mitigation on that?
Yes, it was. The lift bridge, what to do with the lift bridge has always been a key piece with how do we look at this congestion and safety problem out here and still respect the environment, the resources, the natural resource, historic resource, community issues. The lift bridge has been a key part of that of that discussion.
Okay, and I've also heard rumors, and of course that's probably all they are, once this old lift bridge is restored, who is going to take possession of it?
Yep. Minnesota only, MnDOT only, will be the sole owner of the lift bridge after it's converted. Currently, MnDOT and WisDOT both share ownership and maintenance responsibilities of the lift bridge, or maintenance costs, I should say.
So once the bridge is restored, I'm sure it's going to cost much less to maintain it, being that there's no road traffic on it. But what are the expected maintenance costs on something like that?
Yeah, you know, we looked at, as part of that stakeholder process, it was identified to convert the lift bridge to a bike and ped facility, but also set up an endowment account for that lift bridge. And the intent of that endowment account is to cover the routine operations and maintenance costs of the lift bridge as a bike and ped facility.
Okay.
And the numbers that we're projecting, you know, we won't know the exact numbers until it's actually converted, but the numbers that we're projecting are about $250,000 per year is the number that we've been using in the past.
I'm sorry. I just want to ask, any estimates on how many folks are going to use the bridge on a daily basis or on the weekend?
Yeah, you know, that's one thing. We've been talking, MnDOT's bicycle and pedestrian units have been talking with the Minnesota DNR as owners of Browns Creek Trail and Gateway Trail, try to get a handle on the number of users, of potential users on this lift bridge. And we know that it'll be significant, but there isn't an exact number just yet because we don't have the lift bridge converted. We don't have counts that we can go out and say, this is how many users bike and ped users we actually have. We think it'll take a couple of years before we'll actually have that type of information. You know, again, but because this hub system connects up to all these regional trails in Minnesota and in Wisconsin locally, that's going to generate a lot of users, bike and ped users.
I think you're right, because my office is 10 feet from the new walking path there in Stillwater, walking, biking, and running path. And, boy, on a nice day, especially on the weekends, I don't know what the numbers are, but they're tremendous.
We do plan to coordinate with the Minnesota Department of Tourism and get the word out once the new bridge, the new trails are completed and the bridge is rehabbed, so we're going to get some marketing out there too.
Yeah, and I can attest that Browns Creek Trail, I've used it myself many times. I did run the Grandma's Marathon here a couple weeks ago, so that I had used that for one of my training runs, so it's a great place to go and walk and run.
And I do have a good story about, two summers ago, we were paving a portion of the Minnesota Loop Trail downstream from the Oasis Cafe in that area. And the paver was moving forward and was filling up with bituminous and moving forward, paving this nice 10-foot wide trail. And there were people that were biking right behind the paver. And we had to say, you know,
not ready yet.
Just give us a day. Let it stiffen up, and then you can come up. So that's the level of interest in this Loop Trail system.
Yeah. And I agree. I think it's probably going to be a good thing, as long as we as boaters can get a fair lift bridge schedule.
We're people, too.
Yes.
We're people, too, doggone it.
Well, bringing up the lift bridge schedule, I just wanted to make sure that people are aware the lift bridge schedule is on our website at www.mndot.gov. Go to the Highway 36 page, and there is a line-by-line schedule talking about the lifts, so you'll know exactly when we're going up and coming down.
And I, real quick here, just to get back to the bridge operator and operation, I think etiquette on the boater side, I just hear a lot of negative things being said sometimes on you know, from boaters going to the bridge operator, and at times it kind of gets heated once in a while. So I'm just thinking, what can we do as boaters to alleviate that situation?
Well, just take your time. Yield the right-of-way to other boaters. The channel's only about 60 feet wide, 50 feet wide underneath. Slow down, because a wake from a big boat will definitely affect the handling of a smaller craft.
Sure. Okay.
All right.
Looks like we're coming to the end.
We are. It goes quick, doesn't it, when we're having a good time here.
And we are.
And
John, do you want to introduce yourself, and I'll finish it up here?
Well, I'll introduce myself again. John Tetzloff with TetzloffYachtSales.com. Tetzloff Yacht Sales is located downtown Stillwater, right in front of the West Marine store, and you can contact us at 651-214-9463.
I'm Eric Wolf from Wolf Marine. You guys know the rest of the story, but we have to thank our guest here today, Todd Clarkowski, Mike Schmidt, and Kent Barnard. So we got to give them a good thanks. Great guest. We really enjoyed having you on. Thank you very much.
See you next week.